Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths. I am so thankful to be here with you as we continue the sermon series this week about Barbara Heck, one of my very favorite Methodists. I'm so thankful that you are here with me to hear her story and to be inspired by her on the third Sunday after Pentecost. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you. And also with you. Today's psalm is the 19th psalm. We come together now as we look to the words of the psalmist for inspiration. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble ones in whom all my delight. Those who choose another God multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord, who gives me counsel in the night. Also, my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come together now as we recite those words of the Apostles' Creed, those words that are the tenets of our faith, those words that remind us each week of what we believe. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today. We are so humbled. We are so thankful for the beauty of the earth during this summer. Even though the heat may feel overwhelming, we know that you are never overwhelmed. Your power and might and majesty covers us all. Hear us now as we pray the words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we come together today, let this message, as unhinged and crazy as it may seem, speak to all those who hear it just as much as it spoke to me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I admit it up front freely and without shame. Today's sermon is a little unhinged. Couldn't help myself. Sometimes life is a little unhinged. Sometimes I can be a little unhinged, but totally in that fun way, you know. And Barbara Heck, one of the founders of the Methodist movement in North America, could absolutely be unhinged as well. Extra bonus points for me today for not once using the phrase, what the heck. Hear now the word of the Gospel according to Matthew. We are in the 6th chapter today, verses 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The saying goes, one man's junk is another man's treasure. What if one man's treasure was actually a national treasure? In today's sermon, you will hear letters that were received by the rangers at Arizona's Petrified Forest National Park. The rocks and the pieces of the forest can often be too tempting for people to pass up. They know it's bad to steal things, but they do it anyway. Most of the treasures are not returned. However, every once in a while, they get a treasured letter that shows just how badly people regret their bad behavior. I found these letters on my favorite Substack, Letters of Note, but you can find a larger collection of them in the 2014 book, Bad Luck, Hot Rocks, edited by Ryan Thompson and Phil Orr. And before we all judge the thieves, let us remind ourselves that we all have some bad behaviors that we indulge in from time to time. We begin with this letter, dated February 13th. Dear sir, I'm writing this letter in hopes of easing my conscience and saving the most important thing of my life, my marriage. Against my better judgment, I removed three rocks which my husband discovered hidden in my brassiere. Since then, being a true Christian, he has constantly told me of my wrongdoing. I'm afraid that our marriage is on the rocks. I want all of my eight children to see your park in the same condition that I saw it. I'm keeping one rock to remind me of the lesson I learned the hard way. I'm enclosing 20 cents for you to buy another rock to replace the one I'm keeping as a token of my guilt. I would appreciate it if you would buy one to replace the other very much. It would ease my burden conscience. Also enclosed are the other two rocks. Please forgive me and keep up the good work. Thank you, Mrs. P. These letters bring up a lot of questions. Here are just a few. What does she keep in her purse? What do we treasure in life? And what lengths will we go to satisfy our earthly need for fun? At what cost do we satisfy our curiosity? Where do we draw the line for our bad behavior? What do the things we treasure say about us? And what rules are we willing to break to get them? Barbara Heck is one of my favorite early Methodist women. Her story is one I treasure for myself. She was born in Ireland in 1734 to German parents. In her 20s, she found the Methodist movement in Ireland, but when she and her family moved to New York, there was no society for her to join. She didn't just help found a society in the new country. She helped people, held people accountable for the things they were starting to treasure more than their faith. She was the conscience of her family and made sure that bad behavior was corrected. Famously, she caught her husband, her cousin, and their friends playing cards one night, and she got so mad that they were participating in such a debaucherous activity that she threw their cards in the fire. Gambling was strictly against Methodist teachings. She and Phil Embry, her cousin, Methodist preacher and sometimes gambler, went on to found a Methodist society in New York. Barbara continued to give him sage advice. "Philip," she said, "you must preach, or shall we all go to hell together?" Sometimes bad behavior is called out and corrected, like with Barbara Heck. And sometimes bad luck can make you rethink what you hold dear and what keeps us from the light. Here's another letter. September 6th, 1975. "I took these stones when I was there in August on my vacation. And since I've been home, as of this day, I've had nothing but bad luck. I bought a number one," by the way, these are numbered. "Number one, I bought a beautiful vase from Mexico and my daughter broke it. Number two, a couple of weeks later, my dog was killed by an automobile instantly. Number three, I found out my sister-in-law is dying of leukemia. Number four, and now my cat was just killed by the dogs next door. So take this petrified wood or stone, whatever you call it, and keep the bad luck there. I was fine until I brought them into my home. R.P. These letters are so much fun to read. But the darkness can come in many forms. And I'm not sure I'd believe in bad luck, but the coincidences to these people who treasured their arrogance and self-indulgence surely did believe it was the case. Jesus often shows us the way to live our lives by his example. He models for us how we should live and love one another. But sometimes, like in these verses in Matthew, he shows us just what happens when we choose to live outside of the new covenant laws. He shows us what it looks like when we put our own wants and needs above others. He reminds us what it looks like when we steal some rocks because they're pretty, or when we play a game of cards, when we know gambling is against the rules. Verse 22 in Matthew says, The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" These letters are a great example of these verses. When these people stole from the park, their whole body and sometimes their whole lives carried a dark cloud. Barbara Heck was trying to prevent just that from happening to her family when she threw the cards in the fire. She was trying to prevent the darkness from creeping in and from them all going to hell. What darkness do you let creep in? What things do you let cloud your judgment or get in the way of the light of life shining brightly? What activities steal your light? I want a Barbara Heck in my life to follow me around and swat at my phone when I start scrolling too much. I probably needed her when I was driving into Atlanta to remind me about my speeding and my language. I need her to sit with me on Saturdays during football season to remind me of the same thing. All of these people who wrote letters needed a Barbara Heck to follow them into the park to swat the rocks they were trying to steal out of their hands. But the truth is, we need to do that for ourselves. It should not take someone else reminding us that we shouldn't steal rocks or speed or cuss at out-of-state cars that pull out in front of us from a dead stop. We should live in the light enough, just as Jesus suggested, so that we always radiate light. It is not easy to do. We are human after all. But the more time we live in the light, the easier it is to come back from the darkness. Our last letter says this. It's dated July 29th, 1983. "Dear Sir, came on vacation, went through your forest. I did not believe that anything would happen, but here's what's happened to me, and that is why I'm sending you the rocks back. My first morning, my wife gave me a vitamin pill. It lodged in my throat. I thought it was the end of me. Next, we went to the Grand Canyon. I got my van. Got in my van the next day. The van would not start. It cost me $256 to get the van going. On the way, the fans in the van would not stop running and had to pull the wire loose from the fan to get it to stop. So I don't think I need the rocks I picked up, so I'm sending them back to you. Sorry I got them in the first place. Oh yes, the radio in the van stopped working. My CB won't work. So you see why I'm sending your rocks back. Sincerely yours, James. For the sake of all the vans in the world, for the souls that need to be saved, for the games that people play, I think it's a good reminder that sometimes we need to take stock of what we treasure. Where are our priorities and what do we give time and value to? I have a lot of rocks I've towed around that I need to give up. I don't keep mine where Mrs. P kept hers. I carry around a big old suitcase full. More than I want to confess to here in the pulpit. I want people to see the light in my life. The best way they can do that is by watching what and how I treasure things. The best way I can do that is to put down my suitcase full of rocks. Verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." My heart is saved and sanctified. My heart is washed in the blood. My hope is that what I treasure shows the world what my heart has always known. My hope is that Barbara Heck would not have to burn anything down to get to the light of my life. My hope is that my treasures are a reflection of the love and light of God. Amen. As we go throughout our week this week, friends, let us go get the rocks we've stolen out of their hiding places and give them back. Come out of the darkness. Burn down the cards and the games and the things that are separating us from each other and from God. And let our treasure, our light, our love shine brightly. Barbara Heck would sure want us to. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.